Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, time for Daily Editorial. This is kind of turning into the Interview Jimmy show, but that's a logical thing to do because this guy spends probably 5 to 7 hours a day getting up to speed on what's going on politically and with all the background that he's had in the past as a member of the Army Intelligence Corps, retired member of that. He's certainly a very, very large asset to this show. Jimmy, let's start out going over to Wyoming. Liz Cheney is really, really behind in the polls, and it looks like she's probably not going to get in. Comments on that?
Yeah, so she, Liz Cheney, who's actually published commercials within the last 2 weeks, her father was in one and she's in another. I think hers was a 2-minute long piece talking about integrity and the rule of law. As she actually smears the rule of law with the January 6th committee with not allowing no counter arguments and selectively choosing people to run. And it turns out that she's being funded by large donors, very large rhino donors, including, you know, the Bushes and, you know, her family as well, the connections there. Yeah. But Hagman, Harriet Hagman, I believe, is the woman that's running against her, actually in the primary. There's multiple candidates, but Hagman is actually at a minimum 28 to 30 points ahead in the polling. That's Harriet Hagman. Mm-hmm. She's not gotten anywhere near as much money as Cheney has, but she has the most coveted endorsement there is in politics today, and that's by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So she is absolutely favored to win. In fact, betting odds have her at 97% over Cheney to 3%.
Wow. So I guess the obvious question at this point is, where does Cheney go from here?
Well, it's interesting what'll happen because she is actually exploring the possibility for a presidential run, mm-hmm. which, you know, she'd be appealing to a particular, you know, Never Trump group. And maybe, you know, it's very interesting because the Democrats absolutely lambasted her father. And then were adamantly against her for years, both because of her father, and because of her own politics.
Right.
But then somehow, because she's against Trump, all those things go away and they're, you know, propagating this myth and that somehow Trump is a threat to democracy. This talking point that is being repeated by thousands and thousands of news media outlets and Democrats. Mm-hmm. So very interesting. But here's the one of the most stunning things. She, Liz Cheney, has actually gone to Democrats in the county. I'm sorry, in the state of Wyoming. You know, they only have one congressional representative in Wyoming because of the population size. She's going to Democrats and asking them to switch parties to vote for her. So that shows you how corrupt and how much politically oriented and with lack of character she has, yet she has the guts and the gall to stand up and publicly in conference in both commercials and press conferences, mm-hmm. and attack others for their politicalization of the nation. It's unbelievable to me that she could even go this far. But who's to say what'll happen? Because right now there's very little trust and faith in any election process, and you can tell in Colorado, on the border state of Wyoming, where the Secretary of State campaign, where there was a woman running, absolutely, you know, claimed and had information on voter fraud. She had led in the polls, but on election day, a rhino-supported, actually former Democrat, beat her in the primary, even though she didn't even campaign and didn't raise any money. Something is very odd going on in American politics and certainly at the election booths in some of these states.
Well, there's a lot that is very, very weird going on in American politics right now, particularly the fact that Liz Cheney stood up rather strongly against Donald Trump and You know, given a lot of the negativity that surrounded her dad, I find that to be kind of interesting, although I happen to be one of the people who think that Dick Cheney is a pretty good guy. Anyway, having said that...
I want to add to that.
Yeah.
I mean, the interesting part about, you know, her standing up, it's not really standing up against Donald Trump. It's standing up against millions of Americans who have legitimate questions about what happened in November 2020. Millions, tens of millions of Americans want to know why this mass mail-in voting was allowed, why there was no check on signatures in many in these key areas and key states, why Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook put in over $400 million into, and primarily $300 million alone in very key areas that made the determination of the outcomes of the election. They want to know why counting stopped at midnight in some of these areas, why people were forced, why observers were forced out of election observation when they, when, you know, massive vote tallies climbed, you know, from Trump leading by 14% in Pennsylvania to behind at the last minute. You know, this people have legitimate questions. So Liz Cheney is not just going against Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the face of what's happening out here. Liz Cheney, the Democrats, Republican rhinos, I should say, Democrats and rhino Republicans are going after legitimate questions of Americans that aren't just Republicans. They're also, conservative Democrats, workers, labor union, blue collar workers that think, what the heck is going on right now in America?
Yeah. You know, a guy by the name of Scott Paul, do you know Scott Paul?
I'm not familiar with Scott Paul.
Well, he's asking the question, World War III is here, so how do we win? And he defines World War III basically, in a sense, almost as being a civil war. He says, for example, creating an oil surplus as we had in the last 2 years of the Trump administration is the fastest way to bringing inflation under control. I happen to agree with that 100%. Any comments?
So, you know, I do think that the war has begun, and I've said it for a while ago. It was prior to the Ukraine invasion. It's really a war. It's an information war.
Right.
That's being driven by, ultimately, by, you know, the Chinese Communist Party and businesses that want that market. And you know, this is what some of our listeners, some of the people that make comments on the blog, you know, they're very against everything, right? They're against what's the left, they're against the right, they're, you know, they're just against everything.
Yeah.
The problem is, in order to have success in moving the ball in the right direction, you've got to have a powerful group of people to do it. So you have a choice. Ultimately, it's a choice, and I make it very simple. Do you believe the government is responsible for your actions, or are you responsible for your actions and the government is there to protect your rights? Does the government grant you your rights, or do you get your rights from God and the government, our government, the U.S. government, U.S. Constitution is there to protect your individual rights?
Well,
that's the big divide.
Yeah, of course it is there to protect your individual rights, rights given from God, of course.
Well, that's the way it was designed, but it's clearly not happening right now as people on the left silence, people on the left and the right silence speech. How New York Times actually asked TikTok to censor people. The Chinese Communist Party run, ByteDance, popular app that everyone's using that's collecting data. The New York Times asked, think about that. The once flagship paper of the United States in the Western world is asking a Chinese communist-controlled business that collects data that must hand it over to their government to censor Americans. And you know who's behind asking New York Times to do it? The Biden administration. The Biden administration and the Obama administration and their sycophants have reached out to silence voices that oppose the COVID vaccinations or that question the outcomes of what's going on there, that question the outcome of election violence, which is what the New York Times was asking TikTok to do. or about election integrity. You've got a problem when the government is influencing tech companies and big media corporations in order to silence opposition to what the government's doing. And that is taking away those basic liberties. And that's the difference between a government that's trying to control you or a government that's trying to protect you. And if you don't align with the group that takes individual rights and responsibilities to a higher level, then you will do nothing but sit and scream and pull your hair out for the rest of your life.
Well, Cheryl Chumley has written a book talking exactly what you're talking about right now. It's called Lock Down the Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. We've been talking about that on this show, Jim, for almost a year now. And she wrote this book and she basically said, the lockdown really is taking away an awful lot of freedom from Americans in the United States. She brings up the fact that 54% of independent voters believe that the raid on Mar-a-Lago was conducted for political reasons. I mean, that strikes me as being a fairly obvious statement, a fairly obvious fact. Now, the Mar-a-Lago raid, in my opinion, is a huge, huge detriment to the progressives. Any comments? You agree with me or disagree?
Well, okay, so I got to say that I hope that you're right. But I think what the goal is here, ultimately the goal, you've got, and I think we talked about it a little bit before the show started, but you've got Merrick Garland and the politicalization of the Justice Department under the guise of they're protecting democracy and they're going to save the nation. Yeah. They've put this facade up. They're operating, and if they didn't tell the White House about this, a huge faux pas because, oh, by the way, Justice Department raiding a former president's house is a pretty big thing, and you better be prepared for it politically. So you've got a rogue DOJ that's calling parents that are angry with school boards domestic terrorists, that is allowing massive influx of illegal immigrants, that are allowing, that are supporting actually different prosecutors around the country that are letting murderers go, and violence is climbing. So you've got a DOJ that's actually rogue and using its every asset to attack political opponents of the administration, but possibly not effectively coordinating that operation with the rest of their party. Now, there may be people behind it, and I do believe that some of these very influential advisors, Susan Rice's, the Tom Donilon's, the former Obama officials behind the scene are going around through corporate channels to talk to their friends who talk to DOJ or talk to the Clinton lawyers, which there's reporting that they're out there instigating a lot of this as payback. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but we'll see as it goes along. It looks to me like the DOJ has got itself and the administration in a massive bind, and their only way out of it is to find whatever minor possible issue they can, whatever they can, to arrest Trump and charge him before the November elections. I think that's the desperation move. It didn't work. The racial, divide didn't work. The leaking of the Supreme Court ruling on Roe v. Wade didn't work. The economy, the lies on energy, that's not working. So they're desperate. And I think some of the people behind the scenes that are making these giving the advice and kind of coordinating this are in a desperate situation because they know if they lose, I mean, at this point, they've gone so far beyond reality, they're going to end up facing some very serious legal challenges, regardless of who's in the White House next. Mm-hmm. And so they've got to maintain control. And it really has to do with China's financial interest in big corporations and their ability to influence and lobby corporations who then in turn, and those are the media companies, the big, AT&T, CNN, Time Warner, which I guess is moved off now, but ABC, Disney, NBC, all these major, CBS, Viacom, They're incredibly influential, and they are in bed with the White House communication staff. So when big corporate entities and big investors lobby around through those entities, they go in and they report a certain way. They absolutely influence the outcomes in order to achieve their roles. And your question right from the beginning, how the heck do we stop it?
Right.
That's a really good question.
Well, the White House right now, the administration is getting an awful lot of support from the media. We've been talking about that for years now. It'd be very interesting to see how this thing turns out. Jimmy, we're up to 15 minutes. Let's wrap it up unless you have something you want to bring in here.
You know, the only thing that I've just got to say is that the possibility, you know, the coordination. Right now, Alex Berenson is suing the White House. I'm sorry, suing Twitter for coordinating with the White House in order to censor him because of the questions and the things he wrote about COVID.
Right.
And he's going to probably win this case because that is very specific. The U.S. can pass no law, and there are, you know, other statutes that do not allow the U.S. government to influence media, because in the past they've done it from 1949 with Operation Mockingbird, when they used the CIA to try to use propaganda to counter communist China. That has evolved. And oh, by the way, Obama in 2014 lifted some of the restrictions on the government's ability to do that because they had co-opted the media so effectively in their administration. The one good, or I shouldn't say good, the one thing that Obama did successfully was, one of two things, was co-opting the media into being his mouthpiece, and two, by inserting literally thousands of partisan hacks into the federal administration by forcing out long-term GS, general schedule workers, and then putting his appointees into actual federal positions.
Yeah.
That's what's got to change it. That will actually affect change in Washington.
Well, what you're bringing up is something we talked a little bit about yesterday, and that's the fact that Obama still, it would appear, is controlling the reins of this particular wagon and called the U.S. government. Jim, thanks so much, man.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.